Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Yeah, like Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my blade. I'm gonna dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Welcome in. It's Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenbloom. Let's see who else is here. Time for Suckage Roll Call. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Ryan Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you gotta embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh my God, this sucks.
Random Bears fan. Steph Curry.
We suck tonight.
Terry Bors.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Avenue Q.
It sucks to be me. No. It sucks to be me. No. It sucks to be broken, unemployed, and turning 33.
St. John.
Sucks to me.
Ross Perot.
There will be a giant sucking sound going south.
Devin McCourty.
Sucks to end the season that way.
Nick Chubb.
One of the things that stuck to us when he came here, he said, you know, you got to embrace the suck.
Pat McAfee.
There are some commentators that suck out there.
Nikolai Ehlers.
Not a fun morning. It sucks.
Chris Ballard.
And now we lose these last two games and we just suck.
Giannis.
We suck. Play bad. They made shots. They played good. They played better than us.
Drew Doughty.
Thanks for going through this. I know it sucks watching it, but we'll get out there in a sec.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Liam Hendricks.
I wouldn't say seeking perfection. It's just mainly trying not to suck.
Mark Grody.
What am I doing here? I thought that I had finally gotten off of weekends in this business, and here I
am stuck down in the lobby today because I forgot my badge because my wallet is broken, so I have to grab things out of my wallet, and I just grabbed my money car.
Broken?
Yeah, the wallet, it's like stuff's falling out of it, so now every day when I leave my place, I just have to grab out of my wallet what I think I need for the day, which typically is just money. And that's it. Like my credit card. That's it. That's all. I just throw that in my pocket and I move on with my day. But in this case, I was like, damn it, my badge. And now I am immobile in this building and I had to wait downstairs. And here's what happened. Caesar, I text Caesar. Caesar tried to get you to do it. And then
you tried to get me on Twitter. I wasn't buying that.
Yeah, you wouldn't do
it. That was a trick.
And then Caesar got, is it David? David from BetQL?
Yeah, I had to get
nicest guy out of all of us. He was like, "How you doing, Mark?"
Yeah, BetQL guy over there. Steve didn't think it was real. He thought you were joking. You were trying to pull one over on us.
I know. I even texted in advance to make sure, and I sat down there till 10:56. I'm very irate right now. I do have eggs, though. If anybody would like an egg, it's Easter.
I found out from some. I think it was Jeff Joniak found out about your whole hard-boiled egg thing.
Well, Tom Thayer is really fascinated with. Actually, it irritates Tom Thayer, and he's probably right because I buy these eggs, and he's always like, "Why don't you just boil your own eggs?" And I did it once, and they didn't come out the way I wanted them to. So I prefer to waste my money and purchase hard-boiled eggs.
Well, you save yourself the effort, right?
Save the effort, yeah. And the anguish over when trying to peel them that they don't peel correctly and then I get half an egg. You ever have that happen where you try to peel a hard-boiled egg and it's so frustrating, you're peeling off layer and all you get is like the yolk and like a little bit of the white and you're like, screw it, I don't care. And you got little bits of shell in your mouth. You're saying, no, you've
not. I don't do hard-boiled eggs. I would suggest you go to my Trader Joe's and you can get them pre-peeled.
Yeah, but those aren't as good. I don't know about the Trader Joe's, though. I've never had the Trader Joe's. I will try the Trader Joe's.
Okay, so they do the peeling for you. Since you're looking to avoid work and you don't want to boil them yourself?
Yeah. I just don't want them to come out badly, that's all.
Right. Yeah. Well, they also peel them for you.
Oh,
so there you go.
All right.
So it's Mark Rohde. It's Saturday Suckage. It's his show. He's on that show. We're on that show. We're getting the band back together.
I love it. It's great to be here.
Putting the band back together.
Oh, yeah, nice.
We're on a mission from God.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You can text us at 312-644-6767. That's also the same number by which you can dial us and call our phones. And I think that last happened in December, where we had a phone call.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really good.
So things have not gotten better in terms of the phone since.
I didn't say that. I just said the last call was not safe. And our guest line, we will have guest today, Rami Makhlouf. We assume he will be with us at noon. He's from 1250 AM, The Fan in Milwaukee. We'll talk Bulls and Bucks and Cubs and Brewers and why is it everything in Milwaukee is all about gutlessness and cheap shots and all that crap? And 1 p.m., Mark Gonzalez, Gonzo, will be here. Baseball contributor, AP contributor in baseball, Daily Herald, and AP. We'll talk Cubs and Sox with Gonzo. And we are calling your attention to, because we are your Cubs and Bulls station, and the Cubs and Bulls will be on the air tomorrow as the Bulls start the playoffs. So here's the particulars on the Scores and Cubs, the Scores, Cubs and Bulls broadcast coverage on Sunday. We'll have Cubs Rockies starting at 1:35. Game one of Bulls Bucks will be immediately following Cubs post game. All of it on 670 on the Score. The Bulls play in Milwaukee games 1 and 2 on Sunday and Wednesday. You'll hear it on the Score. Games 3 and 4 in Chicago are deemed if necessary.
Wait, would you say games 3 and 4?
3 and 4 of the 7-game series are deemed if necessary.
They may just say, you know what, let's just call this thing.
Yeah.
Slaughter rule.
Right, it is.
Three-game slaughter rule.
Later on, I have one idea. The one way the Bulls can win. But for now, I want to talk about something you may have read. You may have seen this online.
Wow, 773. Grody literally sucks eggs, texting us.
Yeah, that's a very grobber thing right there. To go suck an egg, that was his level of burn. Like, go jump in a lake, go suck an egg.
That's your 14-year-old grobber. By the way, your time as grobber's replacement and yielded a wonderful What Mark Heard.
Oh, yeah, coming soon on the show. It's perfect for this show. Why? I think it will be entertaining to the audience overall, but it does have a wake and bake feel to it, or an overnight wake and bake feel to it. And actually,
any time is wake and bake. It doesn't have to be overnight. It just happened to be that call.
That's true. And literally, let's just a little preview. There is husband and wife, puff puff, passing the phone to each other while talking to me on Score Overnight.
That's outstanding. So, I can't wait to play that. And by the way, today with the we're talking football draft at some point in the show. The Wake and Bake Club has its guy for the Bears. I will bring that to you. The Wake and Bake Club has its guy.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So the other part of the draft stuff is that you may have seen this online. This popped up. Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated wrote a piece suggesting there should be an NFL portal and Justin Fields should enter it because he should be able to choose not to play for the Bears because they're worse than last year when the Bears stunk. Now, pay no mind to the fact that Justin Fields sucked as well. Justin Fields was a bad quarterback. He was worse than Mitch Trubisky. He was maybe not Mike Glennon level, but this guy wants a football portal for quarterbacks who go to sucky teams, which is where quarterbacks go because that's who drafts high or trades up in the draft. And so I wanted to throw that out there for Bears fans, that the idea that Justin Fields should be able to dictate, after leading the league in turnovers, he should be able to dictate where he plays.
I think that it should be, or maybe it already has been, Matt Eberflus or Ryan Poles probably getting up in front of the team, whatever the manifestation of the team is right now, and laying down the laws of Eberflus, which we all know. And
they have to be an acronym.
Exactly. And saying to everybody, here, go through all the bullet points of the hits principle, whatever principles any of these coaches, maybe Luke Getsy has a couple principles, and then say, okay, if any of you are not down with that, I'd like you to get up right now and walk out of the room. You may exit right now. The rest of you, we're a team. And that's the way it should be. And that's how it ought to go down. Can I see your Sports Illustrated story and raise you a Mike Florio quote?
Oh, wow. Let's go, baby.
So Mike Florio was on the Dan Bernstein show. Have you heard the all-new Dan Bernstein show here on The Score?
I have.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. It needs an and.
Hey, you've got Layla Wednesdays.
I do.
So there is that.
And Layla special occasions, right? Wasn't Layla Wednesdays, Layla opening days?
That's
Layla,
true.
Yeah.
Layla is a big-time all-star utility player. Yes.
She's going to come in and save things for Dan Bernstein.
Well, Liam was good last night. Finally, he's been revving up to a decent performance last night. So Liam Hendricks, I would say Layla has been more steady early on this season than Liam Hendricks has been. But we all know Liam will get it on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very good last night, by the way. So anyway, Mike Florio on the Dan Bernstein show says the following. It feels like the Bears are deliberately taking a step back. And the problem is usually teams do that when they don't have a quarterback they believe in. Maybe that's the hidden message here, Florio says, that the new regime doesn't believe in Justin Fields. Because if they did, would they be tearing everything else down, or would they be trying to build everything else up? Mike Florio on the Dan Bernstein show.
That's an unrealistic look. Florio has an unrealistic look of what Ryan Poles has to deal with. He has no money and no draft choices, and he had to create some somehow. And that's separate from whether they believe in Fields or not. Even if they believed in Fields, what would you have them do? they keep Khalil Mack, and then there's no offensive line. If you're looking to get rid of Khalil Mack, get draft choices, free yourself of some money, and do what you can to protect him. Maybe they didn't think James Daniels was worth the money. They found guys who were, they're looking for guys who might be maybe quicker, maybe more lateral, better that way for the blocking scheme.
I'm willing to hear answers on that, but go on.
But there's separate things here. What Connor Orr wrote in SI was, well, God, the Bears are bad. He should be able to leave. Really? Okay. Now, and you listen, if you read the piece, well, look, that offensive line's not good and it's worse. Allen Robinson left. Well, Allen Robinson wasn't a factor last year. And they're not as good. He doesn't have any pieces, so why would he be there? Why would he do that? And you know what was echoing in my head? And it may echo in the head of every Bears fan, and apparently Connor Orr doesn't have any grasp of what's happened here before, and that's okay. But that sounds like he wrote a piece based on every excuse that all of us made for Jay Cutler sucking.
Wow, that's good.
But read the piece and go through all the stuff that's bad. And, oh, if he had an offensive line. You know, and I remember resoundingly hearing OB and Doug talking, get this kid some help, right? We all said it. Well, Jay needs a receiver. Well, he needs more than Earl Bennett, who is his friend. He's not a game breaker.
Old Earl.
And he needs more than Brandon Marshall, who's going to be done in a year.
Devin Aroma should do.
Right. He's a go up and get a guy. Devin Hester can't do this. And, well, we got to get him some help. We got to get him 17 new coaches because that's how many he's used to. Whatever it was, we all made excuses for Jay Cutler every time he sucked. Some were worthwhile. Mike Martz made sure that Jay Cutler got bounced like a basketball in New York. He got dribbled on his head until he finally was concussed. Some of it was legit. Ultimately, though, it played out for all the words that were said, for all the excuses that were given, for all the sound and fury signifying nothing. The one who got it right was Charles Woodson. Just stand there and Jay will throw you the ball. The quarterback's own idiocy. And Justin Fields looks every bit as bad as Jay Cutler did, and now we're making, well, Connor Orr's making excuses for him. Some people here are making excuses for him, and you're using his youth and inexperience, and I understand that. That's another reason he shouldn't be able to choose where he goes, which blows up that SI idea. But I'm going to read something to you. This was written by Dane Brugler. We will refer to his The Beast, which was the Athletic scouting guide. So we're going to refer to this later when we find out who the Wake and Bake Club's guy is for the Bears.
You're going to love it.
This is Brugler's list of weaknesses for Justin Fields in last year's draft guide. So I want you to hear this and tell me what's true, what's not.
Okay.
Undeveloped field vision. Locks onto his preferred read and doesn't consistently find his second and third options. Sometimes by design. Needs to be quicker eliminating things post-snap. Stares down reads and doesn't play with a consistent sense of urgency. Needs to be better taking what the defense gives him instead of forcing throws. His passes lose life when attempting to throw off balance. It probably goes for every quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's Jay Cutler was always throwing off balance. Right. It shouldn't be his passes lose life. It's that he throws off balance. That is the should be the criticism. Ball security needs work. Holds the ball loose in the pocket, and as a runner, 12 fumbles over the last two seasons. Needs to do a better job of avoiding hits. Oh, we saw that. Benefited from an all-star cast around him, both players and play calling. So, how accurate was that, and how did it get any better?
He does need to do a lot better job at avoiding hits. Like, that was one thing. He was not as elusive as I thought he would be in his rookie year. So I agree with that. I would agree with overall field vision. That definitely needs to get better. The locks on to preferred receiver, I see so much of that in the NFL from all quarterbacks, whether rookies or veterans. I'm not saying that it's okay. I just think that's a, what do we call it, evergreen critique. Like, and you just throw that, you could put that on anybody. Like, you just watch a quarterback in a game, and they oftentimes will lock on to their preferred read because oftentimes they know or trust that the preferred read is going to get open. Post-snap, yep, it's got to get better at that. Stares down reads, I think that's the same thing as the field vision, yeah. So I'm a little bit skeptical on that one. The throws off balance, I think you mentioned it, but I think a lot of, when you roll out, quarterbacks tend to throw off balance, right?
And when he's in the pocket, you throw off balance.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And
you know what that is? That is a curse of quarterbacks that have strong arms. Like, they think they can make any throw in any posture or any set. So yeah, that is something that's got to get better. And eventually, if he shows he can do the other things well, the rudimentary things, the basic things, then you could do that, because guess who else does that? Aaron Rodgers does that, and he does it very well. Brett Favre did that, and I don't know why I'm obsessing over Green Bay quarterbacks right now. But those
How's Jordan Love doing?
Yeah. Oh, man. Horrid. But to your point, there's not a lot that I would take issue with on the list. That, yes, there's a lot of things that Justin Fields has to improve on. One of the things that I've been talking about on Score Overnight, too, like reassessing the Cleveland game in week 3 when he got sacked 9 times, I do wonder how that sort of his brain set was for the rest of the year after that. Like, as in, did he stop trusting the coaches after that?
Which would be understandable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because Matt Nagy tried to end his career that day.
Right. So maybe after that day, he stops trusting the coaches. Maybe he stops trusting the offensive line, even though he plays the good soldier and says good things about everybody. Like, I think that it's possible that day could have informed a lot of his thinking throughout the rest of the season. And if you lose trust in the coaching staff, that's a real problem. If you lose trust in your offensive line, that's a real problem. If you lose trust in every wide receiver except for Darnell Mooney, that's a problem. So I do think that there are some excuses for Justin Fields, but I'm with you. I am with you in that, yeah, it was a rough season for Justin Fields last year. Everything's got to get better around him, but he's got to get better too. And I also think that the coaching staff has taken a very, I'll just say, neutral attitude toward Justin Fields. They have not treated him differently from other players on the team. You know what I mean? They have not given a glowing review of him. When pressed on it, they have said nice things. They haven't said any bad things about Justin Fields. But I do think that they are looking at this like all the players on the team, as in, come show us what you got. Like, I'm not going to tell the world that you're great yet and that you're going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback
he's
yet.
He's not. He is not.
Right.
He's not.
But, and they're not doing
he's
that.
He's not looked
and,
like a guy we're but, trading up for. We've seen a spasm of greatness, but we saw that of Mitch Trubisky too.
Right.
We've seen that of, I mean, even Mike Glennie completed a pass.
Right. And we so badly want to see it.
Yes.
That everything that he did that was great was magnified, including the Jesper Horsted touchdown pass in the preseason. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
That was on.
Now you're doing Chris Farley. Yeah. Remember?
That was awesome.
Where you threw that
pass.
That
was awesome.
I am all for the Bears coaching staff and administration being cool to Justin Fields, because I thought his head was way over his skis. Bad coaching. The worst thing that Justin Fields had going for him is that Ryan Pace picked him. And Ryan Pace couldn't find a quarterback at a Manning family Thanksgiving. That's how inept he was. And he found Justin Fields. That's not an endorsement. That's a black mark against him. That is something you say, wow, if Ryan Pace thought he was worth trading up for, he's got a good chance to be awful.
Do you think that Justin Fields still could be really good, though, in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he has a possibility. I'm buying into the spasms. I'm not saying he will. I'm not real hopeful that he becomes that, because Ryan Pace scouted him. I think your point about the scarring from the Matt Nagy experience could live on from the Cleveland game.
How could it not? How could that Cleveland game not scar him, inform him?
Yes. And he's not walking into Tom Brady's offensive line. He does not have, he doesn't have not shown the ability to make heroes out of the side players or the even one star that Aaron Rodgers had. He's just not been that guy.
That's
He's,
because Equanimeous St. Brown wasn't on the Bears last year.
Yeah, Pringles potato chips are here. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, my God.
Bears.
Okay.
Can't believe you wouldn't come down and get me out of the lobby. That was ridiculous.
Can't believe you were telling the truth.
You find that man. We found that man. He's Mark Grody. He's here. Saturday Suckage. Again, as always, we suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He's excited to get started. This is his football team, and he's excited to get going with the guys. And you can feel that, you know, as we go through this process of just getting together as a team and getting to know each other. You know, we've, you know, had a lot of guys here, and we're excited about, you know, working together and building this football team from the inside out.
Matt Eberflus. That's the Flus.
Floozy.
Floozy? Is that
it? Is up Floozy? No, I don't know.
No, I don't know.
It's just ridiculous stuff.
You know what? I'm sick of the anagrams and the... You got hits, hustle, intensity, and that stuff.
Don't get sick of it. Let's just see. Hey, if it
and
works...
And then M&M, motor and mattresses.
You need to buy in. Time for you to buy in, Steve Rosenblum.
Got the B.I.,
hey,
buy in.
I got to read this text from a friend of mine really quickly. This has to happen because it's perfect for the show. My friend Lisa, who's driving around and listening, I did all sorts of things I got an issue with. She says, really, Mark? What happened to you're watching a superstar in the making? Justin Fields is our hope for a better football day. The one time I listen and I'm pissed at you and Steve.
Do I know this, Lisa?
I don't know if you... Oh, you might have met her at the Wilco concert.
Oh.
She was with us. She was with my crew. First of all, Lisa, thanks for... You just sold yourself out for... This is the first time you've listened to me? I've been on and off this show for 15 years.
Yes, that's
God.
True. He left to go get a World Series ring, and now you're daring to diss our guy?
And we both think Justin Fields can be good, and we both think that he shows... elite moments. It's just that it was a very bad year for everybody last year.
And he did not, there were spasms where he lifted the team and did not continue it. There wasn't the growth. Everybody wants to talk about the Pittsburgh game. That's great. Let's talk about
that. Was great.
Let's talk about that. And what happened next?
Well, Ben Roethlisberger won the game. That's what happened next.
Ben, he did not win that great moment. Okay. Then what happened? What happened to the next game? Did he look anything like that guy anymore? Did he carry it on? He was sacked the most time, more times than anybody in the league. He led in fumbles and tied for the league in turnovers. He was awful, and he didn't play 15 games. He was a bad quarterback. He was everything that's bad about Bears quarterbacking, whatever you want to blame it on. I would.
Better be Lisa, because
it would be great if Lisa called in to defend
Lisa,
herself.
312-644-6767, Lisa Dahl.
Lisa Dahl.
That's right. I said it.
Caesar, what
we
is
have
that?
Ken in Gladstone Park. He's got some methods for Grody on boiling those eggs up.
Okay. This always happens.
Ken, welcome to the Scores Cooking Hour. Welcome to Food Radio.
Hello to Mark Grody and the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Rosenblum.
Okay,
Kenny.
Moving right along.
I don't know if Jay Cutler or Fields did it, but my grandma used to put salt in the water when she boiled eggs, and they peeled off like nothing.
You put salt in your boiling water, Mark?
In the boiling water.
Okay.
Yep.
I will try that in the cold water. And then, Ken, can you just...
I don't know if Fields or Cutler tried it, but my grandma was good at it.
Kenny, maybe your grandma comes on over and she boils me up a dozen eggs. How about that?
That would be kind of hard because I'm 74 and she's not around no more.
Oh,
it would
I'm
be
sorry.
A hell of a story if she was.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah.
I know,
wow.
I know.
It's not implausible, but yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
You're a good man, Ken. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you waiting too.
You're a good egg, Ken.
Yeah, you're
Thank
a
you
good
for
egg
calling. Yeah,
you're the worst. God, why did I ever agree to do today?
8-4
I didn't have to.
So
you know?
We can suck so you don't have to.
I know I have a choice.
I'm surprised. Mark Grody's back. We're getting the band back together, and look what happens. We're talking boiled eggs, and now we have a texter tutting you. Please, please, don't say flutesy. It's too Cubs cute.
Or Blackhawks cute. Or hockey cute.
Damn it.
Adding the Z.
Yeah.
The C or the Z.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's...
There's the draw.
Yeah. I don't... He's a legend. He left.
I just learned today was that he didn't really want to go. Did you know that?
No.
Bruce said it today.
I did not hear that. There was something. Is Bruce breaking hockey news now?
No, I shouldn't say that it was like breaking news. What was the, because I was, let's see. He said that there was a disconnect with Pat Foley and the Blackhawks. So.
Oh, I had not heard that. I had suspected that because they appear to want to get rid of all good announcers.
Blackhawks?
Yes. They're doing an excellent job of getting rid of good announcers.
Right.
They giving Pat Foley they gave him an exit, or he decided he was going to take that exit. He's a hometown kid who went to the Hall of Fame calling his hometown team's games. I mean, it was dumb luck that a tape that he had landed in Arthur Wirtz's, Arthur Jr.'s, it just happened to be
in his mailbox,
into his car. He was listening to it and said, I like this kid. And that was this kid from Michigan State. And that was outstanding. And Pat got to come home and called those games. And it was wonderful. It's a great story. I can't say I'm surprised by the way that the current organization operates.
Yeah.
They've shown no credibility. I have zero reason to give them any marks for credibility. From, I don't know the whole story about John Weideman, but if you ever try to get John Weideman off the radio, off any kind of your play-by-play broadcast, you're showing extreme idiocy.
They tried to do that?
They are doing that.
What? He's leaving?
Well, he's being shunted aside.
Are you serious?
In what one of their chief talking heads says... One of their main talking heads said we want to be able to utilize them in different platforms.
So somebody else is going to do radio play-by-play.
That's my understanding.
I had no idea of that.
There's an extreme amount of, I mean, first of all, they're a despicable organization for what I think was a rigged investigation in the Kyle Beach incident. There's no way Rocky Wirtz didn't know. I don't believe that for a minute. Rocky Wirtz was absolved because he paid for the investigation. Jenner and Block should know that the appearance of a conflict of interest, you're being paid by Rocky Wirtz and you're investigating Rocky Wirtz. The appearance of conflict is as bad as any kind of conflict. You just recuse yourself. If the NHL really gave a damn, Rocky Wirtz wouldn't pay for that investigation. The NHL doesn't want to know that kind of stuff because the NHL has major sexual abuse, domestic abuse problems and doesn't want to know. It's barely hanging on in some ways the way it is. But your announcers... Think of what we're doing and what we do and your experience 2 years in the booth with a guy who will be in the Hall of Fame, Pat Hughes.
Three
years.
Yeah. Two really good years.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I remember you went there as a rookie. And
15,
then you
16, and 17. I was like, that's enough. Yeah.
That
Bears. Get me to the Bears.
Every good team realizes that your announcers, your voices are the connection to the fans. They are your hood. They're your chief spokesman. They're your best salesman. If you have any thought that John Weideman isn't your best radio broadcaster, your best, he's spectacular.
He's really good, yeah.
And if you don't think Pat Foley has the aura, the ability that he and Eddie Olczyk were one of the greatest broadcasting teams we've had in this city, and in the expertise. And Eddie Olczyk is hockey version of Steve Stone.
He's staying, yes.
I'm just checking.
Go ahead.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's not.
If he wants to leave under his own accord and go run a team,
wants to leave because his son gets a chance to move into the analyst role or one of the broadcast seats, that would be a very...
He should have a job for life, Eddie O. Well, so should Pat Foley have, unless there's something we don't know.
Bingo. So I don't know that he wasn't. I know.
I don't know either. I just like I said, I don't want to misquote Bruce. It was he. All I heard him say was, "There's a disconnect." So,
well, there was a disconnect. I'm sorry to hear that, because you're losing a Hall of Famer. And the fact that you don't, maybe the brains such as they exist at the rather sick at Blackhawks organization with a lack of credibility decide, we're really going to start over and over and over.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with broadcasters. That would be one of the last places.
Just to keep the good things. It's been a really bad couple of years for the Blackhawks. Horrendous. And
so what were the good things about it? Well, your announcers are great. One's in the Hall of Fame, and one could be because hockey radio is one of the most spectacularly difficult things to do.
Yeah.
John Weideman is spectacular at that.
You got to follow that puck for three periods. Yeah, so that's a little bit
So anyways, alarming. I don't know. Okay, well, we'll throw that out there.
Oh, how'd you like hearing Dale Talon?
My insurance guy, my car insurance guy, Brett, wrote to me, and when it was announced that Pat would be his last season, he said, I hope they bring him back for a year. I hope they let him do one game with Dale. And I kept bringing that piece of paper. I printed that out and wanted to credit my guy, Brett.
Oh, yeah.
And just as a suggestion, as, you know, he would Brett to Damas. And I never said a thing, and it happened. I go, oh, well, sorry, Brett. That's it. But
so that was a good idea.
It
was. Blackhawks.
It is. Yeah, and it's wonderful. It's just whatever. It was a great time for Blackhawks fans to be able to listen to that.
Update from my friend Lisa.
She's back.
She says
she's not calling
she
in.
Said, no, she says not calling into a 2-on-1 scenario.
Does she want to do more than call?
Oh, 2-on-1
scenario.
She said, precious Lisa, Nagy was a poor leader and even worse coach. Fields would have flourished if not for the coaching staff. I don't disagree with that necessarily.
He might not have sucked as much.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have the one way the Bulls can beat the Bucks. At top of the hour, we will go up to Milwaukee and we'll discuss not Bears. I keep wanting to say that. God, we suck at every rivalry.
Do I bring out the worst in you? Is that what's going on here? Do you need working with you?
I do that.
That's Fazito and Studs and Trash Panda and Caesar.
Bucks, Bulls! We'll discuss that at top of the hour, but after this break, and we'll take some legendary words to make the strategy clear for everyone. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Together again for the first time, Saturday Suckage.
That's right.
We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Thanks. Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The one thing I really feel bad about for our players, even for the organization, is you look at what our group looked like when training camp started. And we had a very, very, very small sample size of what our team, you know, was projected to be or what we could be. And we had a lot of different guys get into some roles that they maybe never anticipated being in, who I think have handled themselves pretty well.
The organization.
That's Billy Donovan, present coach of the Bulls. And he was on with Mully and Haw, right?
Was that's right.
The Mully Haw show?
He was on with them yesterday.
And he was basically, that's code for... See, we didn't suck like you people thought, and we didn't suck like we're going to against the Bucks in the playoff series that starts Sunday. You can hear that giant sucking sound Sunday after the Cubs game right here on The Score. Cubs 135, Cubs Rockies 135. We will go to the Bulls game immediately after. Cubs post game, it'll be Bulls and Bucks game one on Sunday. Game two is Wednesday, and games three and four, if necessary, will be in Chicago. There is a way the Bulls can win this thing. There is only one way the Bulls can win this thing.
Do tell.
Do to Giannis what Grayson Allen did to Caruso. They have to injure Giannis.
Wow.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago.
Chicago way? That's the only way to do it, and blame it all on Grayson Allen, because Giannis... is not there. They have no chance. They can't guard him. They can't stop him. And He wasn't even trying. He was just sort of working up a good burn the last time they played. He had like went off for 24 points in about 3 minutes. And it's just that team, that is, the Bulls have no, they can't match up. Their defense has gotten worse progressively. If you're looking for an MVP, Giannis is the best player in the league, maybe, maybe not MVP. You're going to talk about Joker. You're going to talk about Embiid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know who the MVP is? We've seen from the former first, the team that formerly sat atop the East, the MVP is Lonzo Ball.
Sure looks like it all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Turns out he was the most important player on the Bulls. So you think that they should go get the old New Orleans Saints bounty plan and just see what it looks like, just read through it and go after Giannis?
If you're not going to rough up the best player in the game, you have no chance. You can't let him go through you. And their defense at the rim has been awful. And their defense in the paint has been awful. They do nothing to there's no resistance. And you have to be physical. If they're not going to be physical, forget it. And if you get physical and he gets hurt, tough. Grayson Allen hurt one of the two best defenders on the Bulls team, and they acted like this was just tough basketball. Okay, Milwaukee, mm-hmm. We'll show you tough basketball.
You know, that's probably the best game plan I've seriously heard, because the best I could do on score overnights and trying to break this game down and matchups, and we'll talk to Rami Makhlouf about Bulls and Bucks in just mm-hmm. a little bit. The best thing I could honestly come up with was that the Bulls have a week of practice. I'm talking about practice. I'm talking about practice.
We talk about practice. Like, not a game.
I had to really rethink it. Like,
not a game.
We're talking about practice. Like, that's all I could go. The Bulls have a week's worth of practice, and they could really dig into those matchups, and they could really look at what went wrong in those four games. That's the best I could come up with. And what you just said, while it sounds silly and mean-spirited, it's probably just as good as anything I've heard, because I haven't heard anybody come up with a game plan or a matchup that the Bulls can exploit. Nothing, including everybody here at the Score and everybody that's been on the Score as a guest. Charles Barkley was not a guest, but he's predicting a sweep. I heard Ryan McDonough on the Score on the Dan Bernstein show, and basically just Dan asking, you know, what's the case for the Bulls? And he just, not really sure. And then he tried to give like something of an answer, but there just is no real answer. There is no logical way that you could look at, well, if the Bulls do this, they'll win. But I guess if Giannis Antetokounmpo isn't playing, there's a chance.
Right. You still have to deal with Brook Lopez, and you're going to have to, I mean, the Bulls are going to play Tristan Thompson and Vucevic together to try to match the size.
But they can't do it that long either, because that's a real problem.
You know, the best thing about Tristan Thompson offensively at this point might be that he has 6 fouls to give. I mean, that might be it. That's the Jack Haley thing. Oh, we have another breaking phone call, because I don't want to miss the opportunity for Mark's egg-ucation to continue.
Oh, I thought maybe it was Lisa.
We have yet another recommendation for Mark. It's coming from David in St. Charles.
David, welcome.
You thought it was Emily, didn't you?
I did. It said, yeah, I thought it said Emily.
Hello, Mark.
Oh, hi, David.
Mark, you were balking like a chicken prior to the last advertising break.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
I was bucking like a chicken. Oh, I was balking like a chicken. Yes. Yes, I was. Yeah.
You were saying something to Steve, like,
you're right. I'm glad you caught that.
Why does this guy sound like Toby?
So as usual,
a little bit.
You need help.
No, there's no doubt about it. I am in the process of seeking counseling.
Yeah. In this case, I can help you.
Thank you.
Okay. It's an Instant Pot.
Instant Pot. I got you.
Instant Pot is something that we're all interested in on the Wake and Bake Club show.
Everybody says Instapot, but it's actually Instant Pot.
Nice.
This is Toby. Yeah. I swear to God,
it's his uncle.
Yeah. So we should do that and hard boil his eggs. And you called us in in for that.
What about one of them fryers? The fryer though. That air what about fryer. One of them air fryers? Isn't that like the magical
but
way
then
to cook
it
now?
Be hard boiled, Mark. I can explain this to you.
Oh,
Mark.
Yeah. It'd be Friday.
Air fried. It's not hard boiled. Oh,
so I can't just throw the egg in one of them fryers that everybody's talking about.
Thanks okay. for the thanks for the call. We appreciate
it. Bye, Dave. I'm glad he noticed the chicken balking. Yeah. I did do that. I don't know why. I just felt like it was in the motif.
Okay.
Show has come to a halt once again.
It has. But your education continues.
My education.
Sure. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Rami Makhlouf, who you might have heard on these airwaves, but you hear him on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I like Rami.
And I do too.
He's a good
and
guy.
We're going to talk Bulls and Bucks and how long, what's the best way to injure Giannis to give the Bulls a chance? That's how we're going to go about this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Saturday Suckage, together again for the first time. We suck so you don't have to. It's just our public service. Mm-hmm. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.